Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
Nerds. Today's episode is sponsored by Smart Travel, a new podcast from NerdWallet. Smart Travel doesn't just cover points and miles. They break down all the financial aspects of your trip, whether that's the best days to book, how to avoid hidden fees, or which fancy travel credit cards pay off, and which ones are just an expensive flex. If you want your travel budget to work harder, then dive into the best deals, products, services, and more with Smart Travel from NerdWallet, wherever you get your podcasts.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Bears fans, this is Take the North.
What's the reason to duck? It's here. There's no reason to duck.
With your hosts, Dan Wiederer and Mark Grody.
We're going to take the North and never give it back.
Hello again, everybody, and welcome into the Take the North podcast, along with Dan Wiederer of the Chicago Tribune and frequent score contributor. I am Mark Grody of Chicago Sports Radio 670, The Score. Daniel, what is going on, man?
I'm fired up. This is going to be a good episode. We're going to get some expert insight instead of the stuff we're peddling all the time.
We're running out of stuff, quite frankly. No, we'll never run out. It's a podcast and we'll always have miles for you. But you're right. Let's get right to it. As a matter of fact, we have a very special guest joining us. You know him. He is Charles Davis of the NFL on CBS. He does Titans preseason games, NFL Network, analyst on Madden NFL games. He does it all. I got to tell you, though, Dan, I think my favorite part about Charles Davis in the times that I have been lucky enough to have him on previously as a guest, he speaks 85 Bears. That's a beautiful thing. Charles Davis, what's going on, man?
I'm doing great. Thank you for having me on. And my heart still hurts that we lost Leslie Frazier in his career on a punt return reverse in the Super Bowl while up 105 points.
Charles, I wrote about that when I was a college student at the University of Illinois, and Leslie was coaching defensive backs there in the late 90s. And we revisited that moment at length. And Leslie's still one of my favorite people in the business. And man, what a corner he was. And he, as you mentioned, just a terrible finish to his career on that day in the Superdome.
It's still hard to believe, right, that that's what actually did it. Because let's face it, that season, the 85 Bears, that'll be lore for as long as we talk football. And obviously lit a candle for Steve McMichael and his family, the loss of Mongo. That's tough on everybody. If you love football, you love watching him play. All right. You may not have liked the Bears, but if you love football and you're like, man, that's a guy who played the game. And then, of course, you know, all the fun stuff he did in the rest of his career with the WCW and his wife, and she's about it. I mean, just go on and on and on. But just to think of Leslie Frazier and that extraordinarily good secondary, a reverse, he gets hurt on everything else. Like, the fridge can score, but Leslie gets hurt? Not cool.
Hey, how about two? Like, yeah, that was uncool. I mean, you had L.A. Mike Richardson playing in that game as well. The one thing, like, I always look back on that, and you know this, Charles, and you too, Dan, like, there were two guys that year that sat out for the Bears. That was Al Harris, the current Al Harris, and Todd Bell, that they had to live with that regret.
Can you imagine?
Oh.
You know, and when you look back on it, look, can't speak for either one, can't speak for the families and everything that goes with it. But I think the three of us are old enough to have gone through a few things along the way.
Yeah.
Where at the moment, you stood on that principle, didn't you? Right? At the moment, you were locked in and I am right, and I don't care what the 2 years, 5 years, 7 years, 10 years, you look back and go, eh.
Didn't age well.
Walked down the hill I really wanted to die on, but I did. In this case, I just wonder for both of them, you just hate that, right? You absolutely
hate
it. Because they would have been part of something incredibly historic, and I just go back and I don't want to keep going 85 Bears.
I know. I have to check myself a lot, Charles. I
will stop on this one though, because you guys have seen how the game keeps evolving, but a lot of times evolution is just simply bringing back something that's happened before, right? So when we see these big people now, college and the pros, when we take linemen and put them in the backfield, not necessarily as Wildcats, because we had a couple of those guys in the draft this year, Tonka Hemingway at South Carolina, J.J. Pegues at Ole Miss, where they took direct snaps and made plays, right? I'm talking those guys who go back and lead block, you know, the 300-pound guy, and occasionally you hand it to him to get a fridge-type score. The reason I do this elaborate setup is it takes me back to why we got the fridge in the first place, which for a lot of people – they're like, wow, what a cool idea. What a great thing. That was Mike Ditka's response.
Oh, yeah.
To Bill Walsh and their Angus formation, as they called it in San Francisco, when they put Guy McIntyre, their third guard, back at fullback and beat up the Bears in a championship game. And Dick was like, huh. So that's how you're going to play it.
I see you.
Okay. All right. And then the fridge gets drafted, right?
Uh-huh.
Bobby Ryan wants nothing to do with it.
Right.
Called him every name in the book that we can't use nowadays because we'll be accused of shaming, right? Because remember what Buddy used to call him, right? A lot of those words. And Ditka, of course, always rivaled Buddy. Okay, I'll show you that one too. So he got back at Bill and Buddy in one fell swoop and gave us a phenomenon that became a legend in commercials, people talking about it, little kids imitating his walk, the whole deal. Unbelievable. All that in response to the 49ers running over him. And I think it was much more Guy was in the backfield late in the game when they were up big. And I think that's what really set Coach Ditka off. And he's like, all right, I'll show you down the road. And boy, did he ever.
Charles, it's a little bit of a sore subject in Chicago here now because they tried handing the ball to an offensive lineman last year and it didn't go so well in a horrific game in Washington. And so now it's probably going to be up to Ben Johnson to find some way to reinvent that in a more positive way here in the near future.
Dan, that's a great point because real quick on that, that happened against Washington.
Mm-hmm.
I was part of the broadcast crew the very next week.
Okay.
Chicago went to Arizona. And I remember seeing that, and then, of course, the Hail Mary. And I remember texting Ian Eagle and Evan Washburn, my partners at the time. Can you believe we get them now, this week?
Really? They're going to be in great spirits, right?
This is going to be a fun week.
Yeah, no doubt. We are talking to Charles Davis here on the Take the North podcast, Dan Wiederer and Mark Grody. And I think we have done a good job chronologically of working our way from 85 to 2024. And now let us begin the talk of 2025 and some of the things that the Bears have done. They have done things, Charles, again, similar to what they did last year, trying to make the offense real. They brought in three offensive linemen on the interior in free agency, and then their first two picks are pass catchers. And by the way, Charles, this is the first time since in the common era of the draft that the Bears have taken two pass catchers in with their first two picks in the draft. If that doesn't say it all, it does. But what do you think about Colston Loveland and Luther Burden III and how this should affect the Bears offense?
Well, first and foremost, thank you, Dan, for the great transition to bring us back to 2024. So that's well done, sir. The second thing is, think of all the years of why the Bears wouldn't bother bringing in two pass catchers. When did they have a quarterback to throw it to them? All right. Over the time frame we're talking about, the number of quarterbacks. I know Cleveland has the jersey with all the different bets. Chicago may not have a jersey, but you ask a Chicago fan about some of the quarterbacks that they've had. They start twitching, right? But Colston Loveland was one of my favorite players in the draft, if not favorite player. I said it on air. I said it during our broadcast leading up. I said it during the broadcast when he got picked. I just love everything about his game. And he found a way to thrive last year at Michigan despite missing four games due to injury. And you talk about some uncertain quarterbacking last year. I don't know if you saw Michigan's quarterbacks. I don't want to dump on these youngsters, but it just wasn't very good and there wasn't much consistency. Yet he had the most catches he had in his career, 56. When I watched him play, my comp for him was Tyler Eifert. Remember him out of Notre Dame? Yeah. The sure. Bengals had that monster year with 13 touchdown catches and was a red zone demon. And Cincinnati was calling one-on-one routes for him in the red zone. And he was beating corners. He was beating safeties. No one, after a while, I'm sure people put a linebacker out there and realized that was folly right from the beginning. But all I'm saying is, this is what I see in Loveland. I see the ability to split out and make these one-on-one plays. I think Mike Gesicki was a big part of what Cincinnati did last year, where he kind of became a big slot receiver for them because he wasn't going to be an inline guy and block and all that. Well, Loveland can go inline and block. But I think his best stuff is detached, get him some routes up in the seams, anything there close, right in the quarterback sight lines, and then he'll make a double move on you and get deep. He'll beat you with one move, get upfield and get on the seam. Excellent hands, real good spatial awareness, and he's really good with the ball in his hands after the catch. So I'm a big Colston Loveland fan, in case you can't tell. The other part is, he went before Tyler Warren went, which I think surprised a lot of people.
Oh, yeah.
If you watch college football last year, Tyler Warren was the story. And why not? Guy played all over the place. He's wildcatting it. You know, he's a high school quarterback. The catches and had a lot of Gronk stuff after the catch where people just bouncing off of him. He's beating them up. He's snapping the ball and then going and catching against USC, which – I think among the three of us, if that happens in our Turkey Bowl game before we eat in Thanksgiving, it's a fight because no one's
on.
Illegal. That's an illegal play, right? The center snaps and he goes downfield and catch. No. So the family has a brawl. Well, he does that, catches 17 balls that day. He is incredible. But I knew going into the draft, having talked to a few different teams along the way, that there were people who had Colston Loveland above Tyler Warren on their board. So surprise to the general public, maybe not as much surprise to the league. I think they'll both be outstanding players. And then Luther Burden, okay.
Mm-hmm.
2 years ago, the numbers were really dominant. Mm-hmm. Last year, he lost his quarterback, Brady Cook, who I think has been an undrafted free agent, but really tough as nails, hard nose, really good college football player. He lost him for about 4 or 5 games this year. Numbers came down, okay? He's in really good slot. He's not quicker than fast because he's both. Because a lot of times your slot receiver is way more quick than he is fast. In this case, you get both out of him. Really good hands, great determination after the catch. I did a player comp for him, and it was Jaden Reed. And yes, I know Green Bay. I get it. But if you watch them play, body types are similar, types of routes are similar. What they do with the ball in their hands after the catch, similar, bounce off people, run through people, run away from people, the whole deal. And I always like the story behind the story with kids. When I first heard his name, Luther Burden, see, guys, I grew up in New York State. So I heard the name and I went, Luther Burden, I know this name.
Question for our listeners. Which automaker assembles the most vehicles in the country? Here's a hint. It's the same one that employs the most hourly workers in the country. And the answer is Ford. That's not a coincidence. It's a commitment. A commitment your local Ford stores share. And that is why Ford is now offering employee pricing across their full lineup of vehicles, which means you pay what they pay. So visit your local Ford stores today to take advantage of this great opportunity. Ford Motor Company, from America for America.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
Looking for a job is lonely. Endless searching, phone calls that go nowhere, applications that vanish into thin air. What if you could link with dozens of local companies who are hiring right now with just one connection? That's Express Employment Professionals. Find us at expresspros.com. One connection, endless opportunities, and no fees ever for job seekers. Express Employment Professionals. Expresspros.com.
Hate doing cardio? Try brushing and flossing your teeth. I'm not talking about building up a sweat. I'm talking about building a healthier mouth for a healthier heart, for a healthier you. Smile Generation. Trusted dentists look at your care through the lens of the mouth-body connection, because what happens in the mouth plays a critical role for the rest of your body. To find a dentist near you, committed to treating all of you, visit smilegeneration.com/confidence today and live longer, healthier, and happier with Confidence Unleashed.
It's no surprise that facial hair is personal. It grows from your face. Whether you're going smooth-shaven or maintaining a beard, Dollar Shave Club offers shave and grooming products that are always high quality, but never overpriced. Visit DollarShaveClub.com and use promo code SHAVEUP for 20% off $20 or more.
And there was a guy who grew up about an hour from me in the Albany, New York area by the name of Luther Burden. Luther Burden had a nickname, which was Ticky. Ticky was the basketball player in our area. Ends up going to University of Utah, was an All-American, goes into the ABA and the NBA, plays with the Knicks, Nets, blah, 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 blah. That's his grandfather.
Wow.
And I flipped out because I was like, I knew this name. I did that research. And his father, Craig, I believe is his name, followed dad and was a ball player and played in the old CBA. Remember the old Continental basketball?
Sure, of course. Yeah.
Dad played in the CBA. But here comes the son, the grandson, and he decided he was going to make football his game. Really, really touted out of St. Louis. And if you're at the University of Missouri, you've got to recruit St. Louis and win, because everyone comes into St. Louis to get the athletes.
Mm-hmm.
You've got to lock that down for yourself, and getting him to come to Missouri was a huge win for them. So I really like both of these pass catchers. And it gives the Bears something that they're looking for. You get Cole Kmet, a great teammate. You get Caleb Williams, a terrific target with Colston Loveland, because a tight end is a quarterback's best friend. But you know what else is really good? It's a slot receiver.
Right. Mm-hmm.
Those inside routes and easier throws for quarterbacks, that's gold for a youngster, especially a young quarterback who is ascending as Caleb Williams is.
Charles, I did want to let you know this, that when we transition back and forth between eras here on the Take the North podcast, we call it the cold tub time machine. So we always get in the cold tub time machine, go back and forth to the 80s, the 90s, get back to present day. So we did that very well here today. With Loveland, I feel like everyone you talk to about him talks about his separation and how naturally and fluidly he separates. When you were watching him, I think you said on draft night that he was one of your favorite players to watch. And I'd imagine that was part of it. What did you see in terms of why he is so capable of doing that consistently?
Well, Dan, you brought it up so well, you know, the separation part of it. And some people separate by their size. You know, we always try and give like a buzz term, right? You know how he uncovers late, right? Uncovers late means he probably was just bigger and went over the top of someone, right? But his ability to not just use his body for that subtle push off, you know, the use the body and kind of be physical and then bounce off of a guy. He can do those things, but he can do it with footwork as well. Very deft in what he does with his movement. Little subtlety that give you that little extra, little lean. Then he's off to the other way. He can make that move. He can do a whip route, get you outside, come back inside, catch the football, hit him on the move and get upfield. Very good head faking with the subtleties there to let you lean one way, take it the other. Then he makes catches and contested catches. And let's face it, with Ben Johnson coming from Detroit with Sam Laporta,
yeah,
I think there's an easy comparison there. Because I love Laporta coming out, right? And I was really mad at myself when I went back and reviewed things that I wasn't stronger for Laporta, because I said at the combine watching him, I said on air, he's the easiest mover out here. Like, this guy moves like you really want someone. I should have come down firmer and talked about more about Laporta. You know how it is after the fact. Hey, I loved him.
You're like, I knew it.
That was on me for not saying, darn it, I should have been harder on Laporta. This time I wasn't going to miss on Colston Loveland.
Yeah. I mean, we've all been there where we have that take or whatever that you didn't get out and you're like, this is what I was thinking. You got to believe me. You got to believe me. This is what I was thinking
I
about
said it
that.
First. Yes. I did it.
Charles, you mentioned Caleb Williams, and you said, I think you said up and coming player. Ascending. Why is he an ascending player? Why should Bears fans have more hope? Because it was pretty shaky at times last year for Caleb.
Absolutely. And we should expect that with rookie quarterbacks. I think we've gotten to the point now where the ones that blow it away have really skewed everything.
Mm-hmm. Jaden Daniels has ruined everything.
Right. What do all our buddies say when we have that one friend who screws up? I messed it up for everybody. Right? We're all going to catch it at that point, right? That's kind of what Jaden Daniels has done in this past year. We've had other people before, you know, who have come in and just seemed like they didn't need anything extra. They just, you know, took to it like a duck to water. Yeah, he was up and down, no question about it. It mirrored the season, okay? There are lessons to be learned for all of them. Jaden Daniels notwithstanding, the one thing I would say about all quarterbacks coming out of college, and we say it, their process has to be sped up. Because in college, they're generally still one of the more superior athletes, and they think they can get out of any trouble. So they're willing to hold the ball longer, play with fire longer, and usually they win. Either they beat you running it or they find a target late and they turn it into a big play. And we're watching those highlights on Saturday night and Sunday and go, my goodness, that guy's something else. Then you get to the NFL and they run you down like you're a wildebeest in the veldt. And you're down. And you're like, where did he come from? Even if you clocked him, right? Even if you, okay, corner, all right, boom. How did he get here so fast? Why am I down? Or you hold it knowing you got to get rid of it. The clock has run out. But I can make one if I just down. If you watch the sack numbers of the NFL, I think it surprises people when you see the leaders in sacks are often the mobile quarterbacks.
Right.
Because they think they can get out of it. Caleb had to learn that lesson last year. Yeah, 68 sacks is a big number. Yeah, the offensive line could have been better. Oftentimes, a quarterback contributes to that, and I believe that he did. So I think that he will be better with that this year. It's just another year of getting better at everything you're doing. Ben Johnson's offense is going to give him better, easier, quicker reads and answers to things, probably in pre-snap, that maybe he didn't have before. I expect him to make a big jump this year, especially, as you pointed out, Mark, with all the infrastructure the Bears put in place to help him out.
Is it those wildebeests? Is it like when they try to cross through the little pond and the alligators come off and just suck them right? under? Is that what you were saying?
When it's their migration time, right? You see them, they come charging down, they get to the water, and they know something's there.
Oh,
right?
Yeah.
The instinct is like, whoa, 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 whoa. And then they kind of, and then it's like, go! And they take off. And probably 90% of them get through. But that 10%, that's a rough finish right there.
Yeah, oh, it's a real rough finish, man. It's like a horror film watching that stuff. I can't even watch it anymore, quite frankly.
Couple conversations that we've been having in Chicago and questions that we've been asking that you're great to weigh in on here. One of them ties into what you're just talking about there, about the fair test that seems to be set up for Caleb Williams in 2025. Last season ended, they went and got him one of the most proven play callers in the business.
Yes.
They went and traded for two interior linemen and signed another one in free agency. Now they've gone out in the draft and added more weapons. He has so much around him that it feels like by the end of this calendar year, we should have a really good sense of the trajectory of Caleb Williams and by extension, the trajectory of the Bears. Do you agree with that? See it any differently? Or what are your thoughts on that?
No, I absolutely agree with it. I think that we are out of that era of X amount of time to find answers for different things. These youngsters play a lot in college now, okay? We have come back to an era where the quarterbacks coming out literally have the three full years of experience that Bill Parcells demanded in his quarterbacks. Remember that one? The old quarterback formula, three-year starter, you know, X number of wins, must be a captain, completion percentage of this. He had a nice little formula. Well, we got away from that because we were starting to get redshirt sophomores coming out, right? We're starting to get guys that had 1 year where, you know, 13 starts like an Anthony Richardson. And then COVID hit and the NIL hit. COVID, I don't care how I slice it, there's nothing good that I think came out of COVID. But it did give the, you know, players, if you wanted that super senior year, that extra year, it was now available to you. Then the NIL is kicked in. If you're not a top level guy, you might make more money by staying in school and getting extra time and experience. The NIL is the NFL's best friend because you're sending kids back to school. They get an extra year of playing. They usually get better. And guys, how many years has it been now where we've gotten a quarterback taken at the top of the draft or near the top of the draft that if you looked at his grade the year before, it was either third, fourth round.
Yeah.
And now he's in the top five in the draft. Mm. Joe Burrow was that way.
Yep.
Zach Wilson was that way. Jaden Daniels was that way. Caleb wasn't that way. Caleb had started and just kept going, right? Because remember, he took Spencer Rattler's job.
Oh, yeah.
At Oklahoma, Spencer Rattler was really highly touted. So we've known about him for a while, but we're seeing it each and every year where you get that extra year and come in, oh, by Cam Ward this year from zero-star recruit, incarnate word. I mean, let's face it. If you guys go roll into the bar somewhere and hit people with, give you $100, tell me where the University of Incarnate Word's located, your $100 bill's pretty safe in your pocket. By the way, San Antonio, Texas.
Yeah. I'm going to make $100 next time I'm at the bar.
I was like, am I the only one who still doesn't know where this place is here?
But I'm just saying the experience that they're getting is helping so much. And the other part, and to me, this traces back to the strike year of, what was it, 2011? Cam Newton, Andy Dalton, that crew, where they didn't get an offseason. They didn't get OTAs. They didn't get mini camp. First time they saw him was in camp. That's when the pros finally broke and said, okay, we're going to meet you halfway because we got to get you ready to play. You're going to play week one, and we've only got training camp to do it. So instead of saying, son, that's a Joe College play, we do it this way in the NFL, tell me what works for you. They watched their tape in college. They started adding things in that worked well for them just to get them on the field. People may not remember this. Cam Newton threw for 400 yards back-to-back games, first two games of his NFL career. I don't know that he threw for 400 yards ever in a game again.
Hmm.
Andy Dalton went 11-5 with Cincinnati, went to the playoffs that year as a second-round guy. They met them part way, and now we're starting to train quarterbacks better. Hey, what worked for you in college that we can utilize in the NFL? Now we're seeing it. You saw a lot of what Jaden Daniels
did.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Right? I have a feeling Ben Johnson's going to do some more of that with Caleb, you know, and right on down the line. Bo Nix, you think Sean Payton didn't meet him halfway to make sure it all worked? Kevin O'Connell's going to do that with J.J. McCarthy now that he's going to be the starter. Michael Penix's going to be the full-time starter, so they'll work on that in Atlanta. You'll see a lot of those things and go, God, that's what I saw him do that in college, didn't I?
Mm-hmm.
This is what we're getting now, and I think it's really good coaching because it used to be those grizzled old guys with the dip and the son, that's college. We don't do that.
So what do you think Ben Johnson will do differently with Caleb Williams? I mean, you just sort of insinuated the possibility of looking back at the college film and doing what he's more comfortable with. But what do you think that is that Caleb Williams is more comfortable with this year than maybe relative to last year?
I think he'll have some movement stuff in there with it.
Yeah.
It won't be movement necessarily to run. It'd be much more movement to move the pocket a little bit, right? Roll to a side, flood that side, and give him three targets, pick one out, put the ball on him right away. Things of that nature. If you go back and look at what he's done with Jared Goff, do you guys ever think about Jared Goff running the ball? No. But do you think about him as a total statue in the pocket? It's also a no, right? He's heavy play action stuff, right? Some movement things that'll get people going one direction, and he'll hit you back with misdirection the other way. The biggest thing is he's going to play to whatever strength Caleb Williams has, and he's going to emphasize that. Accentuate the positive, eliminate the negative, and don't mess around with Mr. In Between. I love that song.
One of the other things we've been talking about this week, and admittedly it's a good problem to have, is are there too many mouths to feed? You've got all these established playmakers, these alphas who aren't used to playing roles. And so you've got three receivers, two tight ends, a pretty good back in DeAndre Swift. What are the challenges for both Ben and Caleb in keeping those guys happy, engaged, focused, all a part of the same momentum that they're trying to build?
Yeah, it's a great question. It really is. And I think most of the time it rears its head when teams are losing games. Because I think when you're winning games, it's really hard to pop out there and say, what about me? What about me? What about me? When it's working. right? You're losing games, to me, that's what I saw last year with the Bears. Not necessarily guys being selfish or whatever, but you remember that Cardinals game I talked about that we did?
Oh, yeah.
I still remember and beating myself up on Monday because I totally missed it during the ball game. That one scramble Caleb had where he ended up on the right side and DJ Moore just left the field in the middle of the play. And he was over there on the bench by the time the play was over. I don't know if he was hurt. To this day, I still don't know everything that went into it, but it sure was a bad look
for sure.
Like, oh, what just happened here? What's going on? It felt like things were starting to get a little bumpy that way. When you're losing, everyone wants to make a play to help their team. And if they're not getting the ball, it's tougher. But I think Ben Johnson is such a great and experienced play caller that he has something for everyone. And I've learned this from play callers going, you know, going back a ways. You see those play calls they have, right? Mike Leach always had that little teeny sheet that he had, God rest the pirate, right? And you're like, how many plays you have on there, right? Other people, like Sean Payton, it looks like something from Cheesecake Factory, right? Massive, okay? But they make sure that they write certain things on there to remind themselves about certain people touching the football. Either they write their number down or their name, make sure this play gets here, gets that. It's what an offense coordinator years ago told me. He said, I don't call plays at certain times. I call people plays. I want to make sure that gets to that person. Either I have to get him into the game or I have to bring him back into the game, or this is something that works really well for him. I may move him from an X to a Z to make sure he gets the ball on a certain play. All those things that went with it. I remember being a kid watching Pitt, Penn State, back when Pitt was going for a national title. Tony Dorsett was the tailback. And they were struggling. They were really keying on him. You know, Penn State always played defense, right?
Yeah.
Keying on him. And they made an adjustment. And all of a sudden, Tony Dorsett's playing fullback instead of tailback. And they hit him with a couple blast plays. So he got the ball quick as opposed to letting Penn State see him from 8 yards deep and flow to the football. And he breaks two big runs right out of the gate. The ability to see, adjust, get people in the right positions, well, that's a Ben Johnson specialty.
Yeah. You know what I just remembered too, speaking of big runs and the Arizona game, Amari DiMarcado.
Oh, yeah.
They're running.
I mean, the Bears defense got exposed. Right, what's that, Charles?
That was the last gasp right there. Like, that was, you remember that play? That was a third and 10, third and 11.
Yeah. Last minute of the first half. Yeah.
Right? 59 yards.
And hard to believe we were tapping it out right there, because you're not going to say that as a broadcaster. But we went to break, and I looked at I and went, well, that's all she wrote, man. Because you remember third and 11, he breaks that big run.
Yeah.
I think it broke their spirit at that point.
Yep. Yeah. And it stayed broken for 2 months.
Yeah, it was tough. That was the game they were either going to bounce back, and even if they didn't win, it was going to look the part.
Yeah.
And they talked it, as you guys remember. It just didn't happen. The infrastructure wasn't there for whatever reason. I think they tried to talk themselves into it, but whatever got broken against Washington didn't get repaired during the week. And now after that ball game, it had no chance of being repaired.
Just a couple more minutes here with Charles Davis. I do got to ask you, I mean, you do the preseason work for Tennessee. Is Cam Ward, is he going to be a franchise quarterback? Is he going to be great?
They're counting on it, guys, and I really never can answer that question with any of them until we watch them do it. Does he have the tools for it? I think that he does. I don't want to get caught up in the – and look, we all did it during the draft, right? I would assume that you guys did it the same way we all did it. If he were in last year's draft, where would he be rated?
Yeah, yeah, of course.
Play that game?
Yeah.
And then, like, my old man called me one time and goes, hey, let me ask you a question. Yeah, he goes – was Cam Ward last year's draft? No. Okay, then why are we talking about this?
Yeah.
Okay, I get it. You pull it back, right? We were just trying to assess what we thought his true talent was, right? Do we really think he's that type of a player? In this year's draft, he rose to the top, I think, on just about everyone's board and got there. Why? We saw steady improvement throughout his entire career. And then when you start to do the homework on it, he was a high school quarterback in the Delaware wing tee. how many people, if you know what the Delaware wing tee is, it's another form of option football in a lot of ways. And it's a harder throwing offense. Everything's tighter to everything. Your wing back is your number one player, not your tailback, your wing back, because your wing back's going to run it, catch it, all those other things. Go back and watch Delaware play under Tubby Raymond. Find that tape. Go find the tape of Grambling under Eddie Robinson. They ran that wing tee as well as anyone has ever run it. But it's not a feature offense for a quarterback as a general rule. If you really think about it, it's stunning that Grambling gave us James Shaq Harris and Doug Williams out of Eddie Robinson's Delaware wing tee.
Yeah.
Okay. So that's what you get. So this kid never got a real showcase. Became that zero-star recruit. Incarnate Word was his only option. Blew it away. Goes to Washington State with his offensive coordinator at Incarnate Word. Blows it away. Almost entered the draft last year. Now, we could have had him. He was almost there.
Yeah.
Miami came in with the nice NIL offer. I've heard like $4 million or whatever. That's a good reason to go back to school. Because the grade he got from the NFL, I don't know exactly what it was, but my guess is it wasn't before the third round. So the $4 million was way better than that contract. And look at what he turned himself into, as we talked about before. These quarterbacks, if you stay with it, there's a chance for you to rise.
Hey, everyone. Summer is just around the corner, and May's packed with reasons to celebrate. Whether you're firing up the grill for a backyard barbecue, soaking up the sun by the pool, or enjoying a long weekend with friends and family, Whole Foods Market makes it easy to kick off the season with great everyday prices on high-quality favorites, from fresh produce to grilling essentials. Let's dive into the savings and get your summer fun started right. Personally, I love how easy Whole Foods Market makes it to pull together a last-minute gathering. I was there recently picking up a few things for a cookout, and those yellow low-price signs are no joke. I grabbed their No Antibiotics Ever Ground Turkey and a few 365 by Whole Foods Market Organic Salad Kits. Honestly, so convenient and surprisingly affordable. The quality is still everything you'd expect, but I definitely felt like I was scoring a deal, which I love. Plus those yellow sale signs, I make a beeline for them now. Especially when I saw strawberries on sale, we went through two cartons in one day. Save on May celebrations with great everyday prices at Whole Foods Market.
At MLBShop.com, you can get all the latest officially licensed merchandise for you and your family. But if you really want to level up your game, you can grab something for your dog walker, your Pilates instructor, your swim coach, your neighbor, your accountant, your gardener, your best friend, your bandmate, your boss, your kid's teacher, your mailman. Visit MLBShop.com and stock up on officially licensed on-field merchandise from your favorite teams.
Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
One more draft question.
Last thing for him in Tennessee. They're opening a new stadium in 2 years.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
They need him to be their Steve McNair.
Yeah.
Okay. Steve McNair was that guy for Tennessee for so long. And if he has a quarter of the toughness of Steve McNair, if any of us had a quarter of the toughness of Steve McNair, we'd all be unbelievable. I remember Jeff Fisher telling me he got beat up so badly one game, they literally took him from the locker room to the hospital. He was in the hospital until Saturday.
Jesus.
Checked himself out and went started on Sunday.
Couldn't do that in this NFL. Good, Charles. No.
Could be a little tough with the injury report on that. All I'm saying is that was that Steve McNair.
Yeah.
This is what they're looking for. And it wasn't just toughness. They got great play out of him. He was a co-MVP 1 year with Peyton Manning, 1 yard short of winning a Super Bowl. They need to get back to that. And to be able to sell a franchise quarterback with an opening of the new stadium, that's what Tennessee's really looking to.
Charles, one final draft question for me. We heard so much about running backs leading up to the draft, and then the Bears didn't take one until the last 50 minutes on Saturday evening, and it left some people here disappointed. So kind of a two-parter. What did you think of Jenty, who was obviously the clear headliner of the class, and did they miss an opportunity, the Bears, by not dipping into a really, really talent-rich pool until that late in the draft?
Yeah, it was a deep running back draft. There's no ifs, ands, or buts about it. We talked about all the way through, and we saw teams snap these guys up. I think we're going to see some guys have some really good play. I think I kind of understood where the Bears were going, because they could have gone Omarion Hampton at 10.
Sure.
Right. If they didn't want to make a move to go up, and certainly Ryan Poles at this point, he's made a lot of moves. I don't know. Do I want to make another one here? Probably not, because there are backs to get later. But what it told me throughout the draft, Dan, is that when they didn't go get one in earlier rounds, they had higher grades at that moment on other people. And they wanted to stay true to their board. Not in the room. Can't say 100%, but that's the sense that I get typically when you're doing something like that. I'm staying with my board. I'm not getting off of it. They end up drafting a kid out of Rutgers, right?
Monange.
Thank you for helping me.
We've been practicing all week with some of these.
We've got no choice. We got to know this stuff, Charles.
SEC school. Occasionally, it gets it. But this kid, I'm just going to tell you what I thought about him. And the problem that we run into is we always want to comp everything, don't we?
Of course.
So he went to Rutgers. He runs.
Bobby Ray Rice, right?
Here it comes. Who are we comping immediately?
Ray Rice.
Who's the second comp? Think Kansas City.
Oh, Pacheco?
Pacheco.
That's right. Yep.
Pacheco, the most recent comp. Ray Rice makes perfect sense, right? He doesn't run like either one of them. Okay. Rice was in the 4.4s, I believe. Pacheco was 4.36, I believe, at the combine. This kid is much more 4.6 something. I think out of the 27 backs at the combine, he ran the 25th slowest. But look at how he eats carries. Look at how people bounce off of him and he runs through contact. And here's my favorite stat on him. 3 years as the lead runner, probably 3.5 as the lead runner at Rutgers. Let him in rushing every year, obviously. Zero fumbles. Mm. Not fumbles lost.
Right.
Zero fumbles.
Zero.
He's running through contact and trash all the time. So he may not be the guy that we're talking about going, well, he just broke up a 65-yarder. But he may break some 5, 10, 15, 20-yard runs that are really tough, hard-nosed runs. And that can help out in the offense with a DeAndre Swift. And we'll see how that all goes from there. But to your point, did they miss? I'm not going to say they missed. I just wonder where they were considering it and who was on the board at that time.
Yeah.
That would have been interesting. And to take other people as opposed to these runners were still available, you decided to go here.
Charles has been great. Charles Davis of the CBS on NFL, the NFL Network, Tennessee Titans pregame. The man does it all, including taking some time for us here on the Take the North podcast, which we super appreciate, and appreciator of the Keith Van Horns of the world and the Jay Hilgenbergs of the world and the Mark Bortzes of the world and the Matt Sueys of the world and the Reggie Phillips of the world. Thank you, Charles, for coming on the Take the North podcast.
Thank you so much. And I can just tell you, Bortz and Hilgenberg,
yeah,
I saw them as a collegian.
Oh, okay.
Tennessee, when we played Iowa in the Peach Bowl.
Okay.
And we prided ourselves on speed. I was a redshirt freshman, so I wasn't going to play. And so we were at this banquet. Okay. The old bowl games always had the luncheons and the dinners and the two teams were always there and all that stuff. So we had this luncheon and we got there first. Okay. Ladies and gentlemen, please welcome from the Southeastern Conference, the University of Tennessee Volunteers. Oh, yeah, we come in, we all sit down and what have you. We're just kind of waiting around. Ladies and gentlemen, please welcome from the Big Ten, the Iowa Hawkeyes. And these monsters came through the door. As a redshirt freshman, I was sitting there with some veteran guys. If you could have had the looks on our face, what? Or it's Hilgenberg. Was it Jonathan Hayes, their tight end who spent 15 years in the NFL putting people on their backs.
They're all wrestlers too.
All of them, Larry Station, the All-American linebacker. Chuck Long was a big old monster quarterback, right? Mm-hmm. They were so good then that Ronnie Harmon wasn't even playing tailback yet.
Wow.
He's playing flanker because they had tailbacks, right? So they come through, and all the veterans are like, oh, my God, they're huge. Oh, we got to be faster. We're going to be faster. I'll leave you with this. Our starting fullback was sitting, and he weighed probably about 235 at the time, was sitting at a table with Chuck Long. And he told us this story later, and he's really chagrined. And he goes, I'm sitting with the quarterback. And he looks at me, and he goes, hey, man, what position you play? And I said, looked at him and said, fullback? And he says, and Chuck Long looks at him and goes, "You start?" and our fullback goes, "Yeah, you know, kind of, you know, when you're a kid, you kind of bow up." Yeah. And Chuck looked at him and goes, "That's it." Like that, like, "Oh, you're just starting fullback?" They nailed us right then and there. We end up losing to them 28-22. As I said, I didn't play. But I really think that their appearance, and by the way, captain of the team, Bob Stoops.
How about that? Hayden Fry was the head coach, right?
Yeah. Yes. Yeah. Mark, he was his brother, Bob. Bob was on it. And then who was his brother? Mike.
Okay.
The team together. I mean, they came through that door. I've never seen size. I was like, oh, Lord. And that was in the old days when the Big Ten, and it was really defined.
Yes.
Size and speed.
Yeah.
Believe me, size won that week. Size mattered that week.
And there were 10 teams in the Big Ten back then. It's an amazing concept.
Amazing how that worked, right?
It really is. Charles, thanks so much, man. We appreciate all your time.
Hey, thanks a lot, guys. It's great going down memory lane with you, and I really like talking to President as well. I appreciate you both. Continued success. You guys are great.
Great talking to you.
So much. Yeah, appreciate it, Charles. Dan, that was a great episode right there. I like the way that we could go through all the different eras. That was awesome.
Yeah, always fun. You know how I like getting in that cold tub time machine. I'll go get in anytime, any place, and we'll go wherever we need to go.
Amen.
Yeah, fantastic interview. And just a nice post-draft roundup of things. And then obviously taking some sidetracks into some other conversation, which is always fun on
Loved
TTN.
It. Let's get out of here. For Dan Wiederer of the Chicago Tribune, for our executive producer, Adam Studzinski, for our guest today, Charles Davis, I am Mark Grody. Thanks to everybody for watching and listening to the Take the North podcast.
Great talk. See you out there.
Thank you, everybody. The Bears.
Podcasting isn't just evolving. It's having a full-blown identity crisis. I'm Allison Marino, host of What's a Podcast? The Revolution Redefined, a new series that pulls back the curtain on the forces shaping the medium now and what that means for all of us who love podcasts. I'm really excited to share the official trailer where you'll hear from some of the biggest names in the space. Ira Glass, Leo Laporte, Guy Raz, Hernan Lopez, Lex Friedman, AJ Feliciano, Dan Granger, and yeah, me too. Here it is now.
I still want to kill the word podcast.
That's not just a hot take. It's a symptom of an identity crisis.
Big company run media, and people are trusting it less and less. It's really important that we're independent.
There's a handful of companies that control the vast majority of podcast inventory that have the vast majority of the gigantic shows.
We left radio behind for a reason. We wanted to get away from all the gatekeepers.
I don't know that you could do this as effectively in video.
Podcasting is at a crossroads. I've watched the industry swing from hype to consolidation to reinvention. But this time it's different. From the producers of the documentary Age of Audio, Oxford Road presents the Media Roundtable special series. What's a podcast? The Revolution Redefined.
All of us who work in the media, like, yeah, we got to run a business and like, we got to make a living and we got to sell our ads and we got to do all that. But we all got into it because like, I think most of us, like, it just gave us a feeling.
A three-part series where you'll hear the leading industry voices give their takes on what podcasting has become and where it's headed next. Teaming up with Oxford Road and Age of Audio director Sean Colon for this series was fun, but also kind of a wake-up call. If you love this medium as much as I do, you've got to listen to What's a Podcast? The Revolution Redefined. It's out now, wherever you get your podcasts.